All right. Hi, everyone. This is Marcy Stahl, Mindset and Marketing Mentor, welcoming you to today's call, Uniquely You, How to Find Your Strengths and Own Them so you become a more confident, effective, and well-paid entrepreneur. So I'm going to go ahead and just mute out. Actually, no, I'm not going to do that. I will turn on and off the warning chimes. So check here. Okay, great. So getting underway with today's call, basically I coach entrepreneurs and direct sellers just like you to find your unique abilities, use them to boost your bottom line, and catapult your personal happiness and confidence. So I want to share a little bit about how I got into this place and then talk about you and your strengths. My main message today is that relying on your strengths will give you more confidence and ease, and this part is really key. Your strengths make you more attractive to your ideal client or team member. When you connect with more of your ideal client, so not just any old person, but the client that you have the best success with, to whom you can provide the best results, who can absorb your message or opportunity most easily. When you connect with that person, you're more likely to convert them into a prospect, them into a client. And as you get more clients, you bring your gifts into the world in a bigger way, and you have a bigger impact. As you have more clients, you have more income. So this is a virtuous cycle where everyone benefits. It's a giant win-win, which I love. So one of my main passions right now is helping women recognize and leverage their strengths. And that makes sense for a couple of reasons. Number one, one of my own favorite strengths is my ability to see what's unique about each person and verbalize that. And you'll get to experience that in action during the live demo I'll do shortly. Then the other reason I coach women entrepreneurs is that I'm passionate about everyone on the planet having a voice and having a role in decision making. To me, that's fairness in action, and fairness is one of my core values. One way women get a bigger voice is through more confidence and by making more money. I'm living out one definition of happiness. I'm using my strengths, in this case, my ability to see what's unique in each person, in service of my core value, fairness, and in service of something bigger than myself, and that's helping women entrepreneurs. I'm going to come back to that definition of happiness in a few minutes. For now, I want to go back in time to a phase of my life when I was so not in touch with my strengths. So we'll get in the Wayback Time Machine and head back to 1989. Time of boxy suits and big shoulder pads, all on women. I had all that going on. So I worked in this male-dominated field of defense, and I came out of a male-dominated educational field, computer science. So I was working at this defense think tank with middle-aged white guys who had PhDs in physics from top schools, while I had a master's degree in computer science from a less prestigious state school. I was in my 20s. These guys were 45 and older with a wife and two kids in college. And I felt so different from everyone I worked with, like I did not fit in. In addition, I was working for a guy whose preferred style was for everyone on the team to go to their offices, have great ideas, work on those great ideas by yourself, and then bring the results back to him. And what I didn't know about myself back then is that creative collaboration with one or a few people brings out my absolute best ideas. Back then, I was really feeling stuck, sitting in my office by myself, staring at the walls. So all these circumstances, the fact that I wasn't like other people that I worked with, that my working style didn't match my environment, that I felt stuck and blocked, all of that was combining to give me a bad case of what's called the imposter syndrome. I felt like I was a fake, that I was pretending to be smart and competent and qualified, but inside I didn't feel that. In fact, every day I had a vague feeling of dread. I had this kind of low-level anxiety that at any moment my division director might knock on my office door and say, I'm sorry, you've made a giant mistake. We're firing you. Every time I had my annual performance evaluation, part of me thought I'd finally be exposed as a fake. So that was a really long experience of being way out of touch with my strengths. I didn't understand what I did well, so I couldn't create the environment to support myself to do well. Instead, I let other people define my environment. That kept me small, and that kept me semi-miserable. I did do some good work there, but it really came through pushing myself and working really hard. This is the point where in a lot of people's stories, you know, there's some like hinge on which everything turns and things changed and I had a giant stroke of enlightenment. That did not happen. I took the long way around to enlightenment. I made a series of decisions that kept moving me closer and closer to my true genius. Now in this call, I want to talk about how you can surpass me and take the short and fast path to greater confidence, ease, and success. So let's talk about you and your strengths, and then we'll go deeper into you and your ideal client. So first, starting with you and your strengths. Your strengths are so critical to your happiness, your well-being, and your success. And I think a lot of people overlook that. So I love doing research into topics like positive psychology, what is happiness, and how do people experience peak performance. And a common theme in all those areas is you've got to start from your strengths. So one definition of happiness that comes out of the field of positive psychology is that happiness consists of using your strengths in the service of your core values, in the service of something bigger than yourself. And that all starts with your strengths. Another part of a happy life is also achievement. And for many of us who are entrepreneurs or direct sellers, we're pretty much into a certain level of achievement. And achieving also rests on your strengths. When you see people who are at the top of their field, they're typically going full out with their strengths. They're not trying to turn their weaknesses into a strength. So great athletes are not also trying to become great financial experts or lawyers. They outsource that stuff. Great artists are not trying to both be a world-class painter and also studying auto mechanics. They're just focusing on painting. Oprah is not trying to be Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is not trying to be Lance Armstrong, and so on. Every celebrity that you can think of is really engrossed in pursuing their own thing that they're really passionate about. So what comes most naturally to you is what you do the best. You can certainly practice and improve in any of your strengths, but you won't get to the top by focusing on something that is not your strength. Some of the benefits of relying on your strengths are, number one, they're easy. It is what comes naturally to you. You will achieve greater success starting from your strengths. One of my favorite sayings is you should get paid the most for what comes to you the easiest. That's what you're really gifted at. Another benefit is that using your strengths will recharge you. It won't suck your energy. It will give you back energy. And typically when you're working with your strengths, you feel more confidence in your abilities and your decision-making. Your strengths and your values are really closely aligned with each other. When you make decisions that are in sync with your strengths and your values, you will have so much more confidence in your decisions, and that's going to give you way less second guessing. And a final advantage of working with your strengths is that it's authentically you. When you're coming from your strengths, that's pretty much guaranteed to be authenticity on your part. You're not trying to be like anyone else, and you really let yourself shine through. And that's a beautiful picture of you using your strengths, getting recharged, doing what comes easily, and getting paid well for that. So what gets in the way of that beautiful picture? One key, particularly in our culture, is we tend to focus on our weak areas and improving those instead of just wailing on our strengths. You have probably had the experience of going through school, getting your report card. Your parents were excited by your good grades, and then they immediately zoomed in on your bad grades. What can we do to turn that C into a B, to turn that B into an A? That's where all the focus goes. So school is not about, oh, you're great in English. Let's just do 10 times more of that. No, it's about how can you be good in a bunch of different topics, some of which aren't your thing. So school immediately is something that kind of derails us off of really living in our strengths. Another reason you may not be in touch with your strengths is that it's quite possible you got negative or mixed messages about your strengths while you were growing up. When you were a child, when you were really shining in what's unique about you, your family may have wanted you to tone it back down and look like other people. This can particularly happen if your strengths have some kind of intuitive aspect. For example, you can see someone's potential or you can feel someone else's feelings. And you come from a family of very practical, non-intuitive people. They may have discouraged you from using your intuition. And that means that you can receive either subtle or very explicit messages when you're growing up. And that message is, please stop being extraordinary and please look like everyone else. A third reason you may not be fully in touch with your strengths, and this is a big one, is our strengths are so easy for us that we tend to dismiss them. Especially if you're an achiever, you're used to working hard for your goals. And if it's not hard to get something, then your accomplishment can't really be valuable, can it? Another thing that plays into this feeling of that we're sort of devaluing our strengths is that our strengths are so innate. And I compare this to being either left-handed or right-handed. When you're walking up to your front door and you need to get into the house, you don't ask yourself, am I going to use my right hand or my left hand to open up the door? No, you just reach out your hand to the doorknob and there you are. You're in the house. And your strengths are a lot like that. You don't have to ask yourself, am I good at this or not? It just comes flowing out of you. So these are several reasons why you can get to be an adult and really not be conscious of your strengths. The focus on, in our culture, on beefing up our weaknesses, not a pathway to success. The mixed messages we get about our strengths when we're growing up. And our own tendency to dismiss our strengths because they're so easy. When you're confused about what your strengths are, when you're not clear on where your value is, then you're not coming from your true inner authentic self. Instead, you may be looking around at other people for clues as to how to act as opposed to bringing that guidance from yourself. If you're someone who loves doing self-assessments, that's me, never met an assessment I did not like, then you love learning about yourself. If you get intrigued when people compliment you and you want to ask them for more details about what they see in you, then it's likely you're not quite fully in touch with all your strengths at this point. So just to recap there briefly, not understanding your strengths leads to a lack of confidence. You tend to question your decisions and do more second guessing afterward. Typically have crappy boundaries with other people, and it just leads to a lot of uncertainty and stress and mental gymnastics. In contrast, understanding your strengths and living in your strengths brings you more happiness, more meaning to your life, and all of that also leads into better relationships. You have more faith in yourself, more confidence in your abilities, better boundaries, better relationships with other people. So lots of pluses for you to be fully centered in your strengths. So that's a bit about your strengths in you individually. And now I want to talk about how your strengths connect you to your ideal client. What is it about your strengths that is magnetically attractive to your ideal client? That magnetic attraction is built in based on my core philosophy, which is your ideal client is a version of you. The journey you're on is the journey your ideal client is on. You're just one or two steps ahead of them. In addition, your ideal client is likely to be a version of you in that you're likely to share significant interests and strengths. What you care about deeply, likely your ideal client does as well. And I have some data on the strengths aspect to back up this concept that your ideal client is a version of you. There's a really well-known assessment out there called the StrengthsFinder 2.0, which over a million people have taken, and the book StrengthsFinder 2.0 has been a New York Times bestseller for years. And I've taken the assessment. All my clients have taken the assessment. I also do coaching for my own coach, and most of her clients have taken that assessment as well. So I've had the opportunity to both see people's StrengthsFinder reports and also do a bit of data analysis, one of my other loves, with the results. So I can safely predict, based on this data, that you and all of your ideal clients will have some overlap among your top strengths. So the StrengthsFinder assessment that I've looked at gives you the top 5 out of 34 possible strengths. I and my coach have 2 out of our 5 strengths in common. When I look at my clients, all of them have at least 1 strength in common with me. And when my clients are in group programs with each other, there's typically 1 strength that they all have in common in the group. And that strength varies from group to group, which I find really fascinating because these are not people who are all registering together in the sense that they know each other. They end up there more or less randomly. So lots of commonalities can be found in one group who are attracted to the same person. Therefore, absolutely, you want to share that connection with your ideal client and really make it explicit what your strengths are. When you share your strengths in your marketing, your ideal client is going to find you irresistible, and here's why. When you share the strengths that the two of you have in common, that gives them a feeling of comfort, security, familiarity. They get where you're coming from. When you share different strengths, the ones you have that they lack, they're going to get even more excited about those because you're going to help them have experiences they cannot get on their own. So one example, I have an ability to really focus and create clarity and laser in on what's most important. And I almost always have a colleague, a friend, a client in my life who generates so many ideas and has such an inability to prioritize that they end up feeling stuck or overwhelmed by their ideas. So in that case, my ability to laser in helps them get access to experiences they can't get on their own. They cannot get that clarity by themselves. Similarly, it may be that if you have a big empathy strength, there may be one or a few people in your life who have problems really expressing their own feelings, and your empathy strength helps them get in touch with their feelings. So at this point, all this sounds really straightforward. Your ideal client is a version of you, so share your strengths in your marketing, and you'll be irresistible to them. And that is a really straightforward principle, but some things get in the way of getting that done. And what is getting in your way? One is that you probably don't know the full extent and variety of your strengths for all the reasons that I described earlier. In addition, it's hard to read the label when you're inside the bottle. That was one of my favorite sayings. It's hard to read the label when you're inside the bottle. So for you, your strengths are innate, and you may not be fully conscious of what they are, whereas other people around you may see that more clearly. In addition, I see that people go through four phases when it comes to their strengths. The first phase is denial or minimization. Oh, doesn't everybody do it that way? Well, it's so easy for me. It can't be really special. You mean people would actually pay for that? That's what the denial or minimization sounds like. The second phase is awareness. Oh, I see myself doing this. I see that other people don't do that as easily or quickly as I do that. That's awareness. And then phase three is ownership. You totally know that you've got these strengths. You feel confident relying on them. You know, whoops, and I'm sorry about this incoming call. I have not figured out how to turn this off. So there's a little bit of background noise. Okay, back to ownership. You know your strengths. You can rely on them. You know you can just basically like turn on the spigot and your strength will come out. That is a fun place to be. And there's even one higher place you can end up, and that is with leverage. Then you can not just rely on your strength, but you can ask yourself questions like, how can I use my strength of being strategic to support me in facing this current problem? How can my strength of empathy support me to generate more clients? Those are example questions that illustrate leverage. Unfortunately, most people are in phase one, the denial or minimization, or maybe in phase two, the awareness. If you have a sense of ownership about your strengths, it's likely it's only for one or two of your strengths, but not for the whole variety of strengths that you have in your toolkit. So the message I really want to leave you with here is that you've got more variety of your strengths available to you, and you have tremendous untapped potential in your strengths. Another thing that can get in the way of sharing your strengths in your marketing and feeling good about that is that your strengths are really bound up with your authenticity. When you're living in your strengths, that is just integral, intertwined with, it's one with authenticity. And that can be scary because you may have gotten the message at some point in your life that your strengths are not okay, and it can feel alarming to consider being loud and proud in the world with your strengths. Once you know your strengths and you're okay with sharing them, how to share it is not quite as simple as just saying, my strength is being strategic. So at this point, I want to talk a little bit about the empathy strength, and then we'll come back with a live demo makeover about how to bring your strengths into your marketing and selling conversations. So I want to talk a bit about the empathy strengths. And according to StrengthsFinder 2.0, I'm going to paraphrase a bit about how they describe this. Empathy is your top strength if you have a strong ability to sense other people's emotions or feelings without them saying anything about it. That doesn't necessarily mean that you agree with or condone their feelings or actions. It just means you understand what they're feeling. You can hear the questions they don't say, and you can anticipate what they need. It's likely that you instinctively find the right words or tone to help people express themselves. And for all these reasons, people are drawn to you. if you have an empathy strength, it's quite likely that you find people will talk to you sort of like out of nowhere. People will be drawn to you and they'll just start telling you their life story, even when you're complete strangers with them. The journey that people with an empathy strength go on is really interesting to me as I've explored this more deeply. Often it starts with some confusion because you may become aware of your empathy strength as a child, and you can start when you're feeling other people's feelings, you're not really sure whether what you feel is your own feeling or someone else's. So that's the part that can be confusing in the beginning. And for sure, there can be issues around boundaries. What are my own feelings and my own responsibility? What are someone else's feelings and their responsibility? Once you get more clarity about your own feelings versus someone else's, that actually still tends to bring up certain boundary issues. You can be scared to speak about what you're feeling. What if I'm wrong? What if I say this and people think I'm crazy? If I'm feeling this and I start talking about it, does that mean I have to fix it for someone else? So that can be kind of a second phase, again, with a lot of boundary issues in it. As you resolve whose feelings these are, what are you responsible for and not responsible for, then that moves you into a beautiful place where you can use this awareness to help your clients. So you can be aware of their feelings, voice what they're not able to really talk about, and find these words that help them express what they're feeling. This phase is still kind of an inside job, as I call it. You know, you're aware of what you're feeling and what they're feeling, and you're using it to support your relationship with them, and you're not really using it to support them to the maximum way possible. So the bigger way to share your empathy strength is to say something like, I'm sensing this feeling. So for example, I'm sensing some anxiety as we talk about this particular subject. Let me just check in. What are you feeling right now? That's it. You're just naming the emotion you feel in the room, and you're asking them, what are they feeling? It's completely up to them whether they want to open up to you about this or not. And in this way, you don't have to have the pressure of figuring out what's best for them on your own. And people with a really strong empathy strength can often feel that way, that it's up to them to figure out what's the ideal solution for someone. No. That, when you have to figure out ideal solutions, you're in essence taking away someone else's free choice. So much better and so much easier for you as well to stay in the space of co-creating with them. You just say, here's what I'm feeling. I'm wondering if you're feeling that way. Tell me about how you're feeling. Then you two can establish where they are and move on from there. Okay, so that's a quick look at empathy. And what I want to do now is, if we've got a volunteer on the line, I would love to do a quick strengths makeover with you right here on the line. So if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to volunteer and have us get a little bit deeper into your own strengths and what that could sound like for you in your marketing, just come on forward and say your name and we'll get started. Who may I serve? Any volunteers on the line today? I will leave that invitation out there, and if someone wants to join in later as a volunteer, I'm totally open to that. Just interject and feel free to interrupt me. I know once I start talking, I can just keep blasting onward, so feel free to interrupt and just say your name, and we will come back to that. Okay, so we talked about that empathy strength. I'm going to touch briefly on one of the other strengths that I really see in my community, and that is learners, people who love learning about things. If you're a learner and you don't have a project going on right now to learn something new, life may feel a little bit boring to you. So learning is what you thrive on. And it doesn't have to be aimed at an end point. So it doesn't have to be you're looking to get your fifth master's degree. No, no, no. It can just be one form it can take is you're a bit of an information junkie. You love learning about specific topics. Your idea of a great news story is something that you listen to on NPR, where they really go more in depth as opposed to the evening news, which are shorter snippets. You may be the kind of person who loves studying a foreign language or taking a new dance class. It can take lots of different forms, but it's always about keeping some kind of newer level of mastery in your life. For learners, it's the process of learning that's so super fun and engaging. It's not the end point. So the journey is what matters the most. So I'll check in one last time. Do we have a volunteer who might like to step forward for your strengths? Going once, going twice. Okay, then let's do kind of a hypothetical here. So let's start from a theoretical standpoint. If you're someone who has both an empathy strength and a learner strength, what could that look like in your marketing conversations? And here I should state that, you know, I'm using marketing in the most general, broad sense. So that could be that you are an entrepreneur and you want to market to prospects and create new clients. That could be that you're a direct seller and you're looking to attract new team members. That could be you're someone in the corporate world and your marketing consists of keeping your name, expertise, and credibility really high in your organization and making sure that you have language in your resume to support you when it's time for you to transition into another corporation. So whether your marketing, is aimed at prospects, team members, or your corporate setting, all of that is equally applicable for what I'm about to share here. So if we look for a minute at empathy and learner and those two strengths and how they can show up in your marketing, you can definitely, for the learner strength, talk about the areas of expertise that you have and how that's a benefit to your client, your team members, or your corporation. If you're in a position that is in any way, shape or form aligned with your interests and your values, then I'm 100% confident that you do a lot of reading or listening or watching videos, whatever your preferred method is for taking in information, that you do that in specific areas that are relevant to your business. So again, your ideal client, your prospective team members, your corporation will be happy to receive that information from you. Most other people are not going to be interested in those topics to the degree that you are. and they're not going to spend their free time exploring them in the depth that you do. There are some horrible statistics about the number of books Americans read each year, and it's something like, I want to say 40% read zero, one, or two books in a year, period. That's all they read. So anytime you start thinking to yourself, I'm not an expert, just remember your idea of expertise is like Albert Einstein. And what you really want to be looking at is not the gap between you and Albert Einstein. It's the gap between you and the person who's reading zero, one, or two books. Because that's the gap between you and the average person. So it's a great place for you to say, I'm particularly fascinated by, you know, in my case, it's all self-improvement and marketing and spirituality. I tend to read a tremendous amount in those areas. Also peak performance. So I'll just pick peak performance for a minute. You know, I'm particularly fascinated by the topic of peak performance. I tend to read at least one book a week on that topic. I've got a ton of information on that, and I'm happy to be a resource for you to help you with that. And you can drive that even further. So how does being a resource on peak performance, what value would that add to your ideal client or your team member or your corporation? And keep making that more and more specific. And that kind of general construct, being able to say, I'm really good at this, and then specify what's the value to the person to whom you're aiming this statement, that's generally how you want to bring your strengths into your marketing. And it's not going to be like you just do this, you know, for 20 bullet points or for 5 minutes. These are more what I call sprinkles. You're going to sprinkle them throughout your marketing. You're going to sprinkle them in your conversation. You're going to sprinkle them in your performance evaluation or your resume. So just like we pick out the learner strength, one aspect of that, the specific topic that you study and what's the benefit to the person you're aiming at, you can really go back and do this with all of your strengths. So what's the benefit of being empathetic? It means that you can hear what your clients are leaving unsaid, which in turn means that you can take them deeper into whatever the problem is that's bringing them to you and help give them an even more profound result than someone who's not skilled in empathy can give them. I'm sketching that out in a fairly general way. You would want to make that more specific for your clients and your empathy strength. So a couple examples there of just how to really bring your strengths into your marketing. And those are just some quickie examples of how much more of your strengths are really waiting for you to discover and use them. So for example, with the learner, you know, you may be thinking everyone else spends as much time reading or listening or watching as you do, and that's absolutely not the case. So there's a big value you have to add. You're already doing this. This is no change in your behavior. It's just being aware of it and being able to leverage it in what you're doing. One of the things I love about bringing your strengths into your marketing is that your marketing will instantly improve, and it's super easy and super simple. Again, no homework required on your part. You're not going to have to embark on a big, long, you know, like self-improvement project. This is who you are right now, just bringing that forward. As I said back at the beginning of this teleclass, I want you to take the shortest path possible to more confidence and more ease in yourself as opposed to the long and winding road I took. And I'd like you to take that shortest path to really living in your strengths authentically to bring you more clients, more income, and more impact in the world. So if you're a heart-centered entrepreneur and you're getting really excited about this idea of exploring your strengths and what's unique about you, If you're ready to release struggle around your marketing, whatever that marketing means for you and your position, in favor of something easy. And if your big goal is to help more people in 2014, and you're someone who's committed to your personal growth and development, then I'm happy to invite you into a private one-on-one call with me where we're going to go deeper into your goals, your strengths, and what's getting in your way. And we can discuss whether coaching together makes sense to help you move into more success and ease sooner rather than later. To set up that complimentary call, you can just email success@marcystahl.com. And you will easily be scheduled by my lovely assistant, Melissa. I have limited space on my calendar this week, so please email me right away, success@marcystahl.com. And that's going to be in a follow-up email that I'll send out as well if you have any questions about the spelling. So bottom line here, your strengths are waiting for you to find them. And if you'd like support on that journey, I am thrilled to help you with that. So I want to close with a beautiful quote by a science fiction author. And I rarely read quotes from science fiction, so I always find it interesting, you know, that that's where this came from. And this author's name is Lois McMaster Bujold, B-U-J-O-L-D. All great human deeds both consume and transform their doers. Consider an athlete, or a scientist, or an artist, or an independent business creator. In service of their goals, they lay down time and energy and many other choices and pleasures. In return, they become most truly themselves. A false destiny may be spotted by the fact that it consumes without transforming, without giving back the enlarged self. When you're living from your strengths and your values, you will be feeling that enlarged self. When you're not living in alignment with your strengths and your values, that is a false destiny, and it will consume you without transforming you. And it will consume you without giving you back more than what you put in. So with that, I want to close our call for the day. My thanks to everyone who's with me on the call live and everyone who's listening to the recording. And I will look forward to speaking with you at a future date. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.